talking about the Nettie Scott place on the Wood Road, and Joseph Pisty bought it some years ago, and he sold the house off. It's now owned. The house is, the lot is now owned by one of the Cartnard's daughters. The Cartnard's, Vincent, I think it was, senior, bought the house and lot from Joe Rapisky, and the Rapisky still own the farm. Joe Rapisky Jr., I think, owns it now. And he rents the land out. So that's the first place on that road. Then you go up the road to ways, and there's a house on the right back in the woods. So that's an old house that once belonged to Walter A. Wood. That was his original farm, I think. He farmed that in conjunction with the place at Barker's Grove, as I remember. And then it was sold to the son-in-law and daughter, Marion and Henry Crosby. And he fixed it up, and he has since sold it to the Johnson farmer. So that house sits back in there. It's an old-fashioned, probably a pretty old house, and it's sits back in the woods. And the house is occupied now by a Smith family, Jennifer and what her husband's name is. So then you progress on up the road. Next place on would be on your left is a house that belongs to John Kersey. John and his wife live in there, and they have a son and a daughter. I think that they're both gone away from home now, but John built that house in about probably 15 years ago. And he lives in there and occupies it now. So then that's in that last place until you get to Brayton Road, and you cross the Valley Falls Road, and it's then the Brayton Road, and then it's place on the corner, which I've described, now occupied by Bud Rogers. Then you go back to the Rogers farm, a big place, and it was formerly owned, when I was a kid, by the Pratt family, Albert and Sarah Pratt. And they owned it, and their son Gilbert took it over some years ago, and he farmed it, and Albert helped him as long as he was able. And he eventually sold it to the Rogers. And they've owned it for some over 20 years now, I think. And the Ben Rogers, or George Rogers Sr. and his wife, are still living there. But the Lambs are using the barns and the farm. Well, that's the only other place on the Brayton Road until you get to the We'll now go south on 40, and at the junction of Meeting House Road, the road to your right is the Wright Road. And that the first place on that road is owned and occupied by James Plogg and his wife. He once owned the whole farm there, but he sold the land off now to the Allens, and it's now just a house and lot. And Tim bought that from Joseph Pisty Sr. some 40 years ago, probably, and he's been there ever since. And the next place on the right there would be a lane. That's a Norm Allen residence. The lane goes back in there half a mile or more. And else is in there, and Norm and his wife live there now. And they had four children, I believe. The boys are involved in the Allen farm and the machinery business. And when I was a kid, that was owned by the Allens, Norwood and his wife Edith. And they only used that as a summer place in there until Norm got married and took that place over. And it was formerly owned by a person named Jim Sherman. They always call that the Sherman place. So that's the place in the lane. Next place on the right is now a newer home built by Tim Bulger and his wife. She's one of the Allen girls. Cindy Allen. They and their children living there. Then you go on to the west, just beyond the McGowan Road, which turned to the left. There was an old house there, known as the Beale House. That place there has been part of the Brotherhood Farms for years, and was owned by the Hillman Brothers or Brotherhood Farms in those days. And the house was burned down among a rash of arsons around town in the early 50s, I believe. And the farm still belongs to Brotherhood Farms. So then you go on down, there's no other house on the right until you get to the right farm, which is belong to the Wright family, I guess, for 150 years. That's right on the corner of the River Road. And that's an old house, I'm sure, too. And Gordon Wright and his wife, Marguerite, live there now. They were there have been there for many years, and Gordon was born there, I believe, and they raised a family of four or five children. And when I was a kid, it was my uncle Fred Wright and my aunt Lizzie lived there, and that was Gordon's father and mother. As I say, that's the place that's been in the Wright family for many, many years, I guess. And so that brings us to the River Road, so then we'll have to turn around and come back. And there is no house now. There's two, three houses in there on either side of the road when I was a kid. And there's no buildings there standing between the River Road and McGowan Road. And from McGowan Road up, there's a house there that was built by Dick Moy some years ago, and now sold to the Shannon family. And when Mr. Shannon died, Mrs. Shannon sold his or with some of her children. And then across the valley, there's another house was also built by Dick Moy, or his first house. And that's now occupied by E.D. Robertson and her husband. That's a newer house. That brings us all the way back to Scott's Lane to Route 40. There are also two more houses I forgot. There was one house beyond the Abiel place going west, right near my cousin Jack's land on the left. It was then Mr. Height Wade, Hiram, I believe his name was, lived there alone at that time. And if you ever had any family, I don't know about it. He had a small house there, pretty well dilapidated, and a little barn in back of it. He used to come over to my uncle's place across the street when he hayed it there and helped hay it. He was quite lame and not too well. Getting older in those days, but he would help put on hay so he could get a little hay for himself. He had a cow or two in the old barn back of there. That house was pretty well, as I say, dilapidated, and poor old Height was in that house, and he froze his legs and feet and hands, and no heat apparently. And I remember that my father and Bob Wolf went down and rescued him and took him to the Argyle home, where he died within 2-3 weeks thereafter. And that house was torn down later, and it became part of the Allen farm. And then west of that, another 1,000 feet or so, was a kind of a older house, dilapidated pretty much. There was a lady by the name of Corey Eddy lived in there, and she was she was an older lady then, and she apparently died, and that house also was torn down and is now part of the Wright farm, which is farther to the west. Then we'll go down the now called McGowan Road, named McGowan Road. When I was a kid, that was known as Toad Howell Road. The first place on the right is now building their garage and downstairs and living quarters up overhead. That's owned by a man that runs a game farm there where you can go and hunt pheasants, and he also has permits for deer hunting, bow permits and things of that nature. he bought the majority of what was the Lewis farm, and he operates that as a game farm. Then the next place on the right would be the old Lewis house. It's the same house, but it's been converted somewhat, but that belongs to a man named Stevens. He owns the house and lot around it. And the farm, as I say, was owned by Lewis's in the old days. Patience Lewis was the mother, and she had at least three sons and a daughter. And Fred Lewis lived on the farm with his mother till she died. And that was he was quite a character, Fred was, and so was the other two sons, Floyd and Frank. Floyd had the farm, part of the farm that's now owned by the Rogers. And Fred stayed there at home with his mother, and you know, he stayed there until his death. And he didn't farm it very extensively, but the land was, the whole place was bought by Bob Wolf Sr. And then the land was sold to Tom Murray, and now to this pheasant farm or game farm. And barns that were there are all gone. There's been a pole barn put up there. It was owned by at one time by Jim Martin, who ran a beef and pig farm there. Then you go on south, and there's a little house there. Also was the home of the father of Jim Martin. When I was a kid, that was a Flatley place. And, a man by the name of George Flatley, and he had at least three children I know, two daughters who now live in Greenwich. One was Mrs. Rita Butler, and the other was she was never married. Her name was Sita. And the son, Jerome, I think lived at home with his folks until his early death. And that was a small farm, and George Flatley only milked a few cows, and he got ready to retire. He retired to Greenwich, where the Butlers and daughter Sita now live. And that was sold to the father of Jim Martin, Alec Martin. It was a small barn there, and which is gone. It now is a pole barn out back. And that brings you to the Wager Lane, which is a right turn, and was the first place you can encounter down in there is the Williams place. When I was a kid, that was originally the Gifford, Alan Gifford, I believe his name was. He committed suicide there and hung himself in that barn. And then it, the Hainer family moved in there from some area, but they were there for quite a number of years, and he farmed it there. He had a daughter and a couple of sons, and he farmed it there for quite a while, and he sold it to the Williamses, who came from Colony, and have always raised quite a bunch of vegetables as well. You know, it's a fairly good-sized farm down there. But that is a dead-end lane. You swing around their house and barns and go down farther. There was a house there, and that was the George Maliski place, and originally it was owned by the Pete Birdsinger, who owned the place at the junction of Cranel's Corners and Route 40. I remember the Maliskis being there. They had several children, mostly daughters, I believe, and some of them, I think, are still around. And the barns burned there early on in about 1950, maybe, and the house was there, and there was a man named, his name was Willie Bennett. He tried to milk cows, and what was only building much left there then was a hen house. And he was also had a riding academy in Luzerne, I believe, and he had some horses there a lot of time. And he had a few years, and then it was sold to the Wolfs, Robert Wolf Sr. And then to Robert Wolf Jr. And then to this, it's now part of the Wolf Farm. Then you come back up out of that lane, continue south on McGowan Road, There was a house right on the corner where you turned down Fager Lane. And that was the, originally, as I remember, the Joseph Pesky farm, small farm. And then he moved up to Barker's Grove and sold that farm to the Whitneys. And they lived there for quite a few years. They had several children. And then it was sold to this person that now lives there, and he's an older man, retired, and the farm, I think, has been sold off, the land has been sold off to the Yershak farm, I believe. Then you continue on south, and to another place on that road is the house that was built and is occupied by Warren Smith and family. Just Warren and his wife, she was Yershak, Helen Yershak, and they still live there with probably none of their children now. That was a newer type house that Warren built. Then that brings you down to the corner of the Crandall's Corners Road. So then we'll turn around and come to the north, and the first place you encounter was, when I was a kid, the Niles Hillman B building. That was converted into some sort of living quarters sometime later when Niles went out of the business down there, and it's now owned by the Pattersons in conjunction with a log cabin that they built to the north, and they still live there, and they were gone for a few years, and some of the children lived there, and he was part of the West Virginia Pulp and Paper Company, and he went south, I think, when they closed here in Mechanicville, and lived down there for some time, and he's now back. He's occupying that house himself, him and his wife. Then you come on north, and the only houses around that road to the north are a house that belongs to one of Wesley Brownell's daughters and her husband, just built a couple of years ago, which shares a common driveway with Wesley Brownell, who owns a house some distance to the east and quite a little lane. He built that house in probably 15 years ago, Wesley had it built. And he and his wife and just one son live there anymore. They had three or four daughters, but the son David still lives there with them. And that's the last place on the McGowan Road. Now, to keep some more order to this, we'll now go south and to Route 40 through the junction with Crandall's Corners Road. Crandall's Corners is a road that I knew was a first county road around this part of the county anyway. It was a dirt road, but had been taken over by the county and maintained by them. The first place, there was a house right on the corner, which is now, it was removed in 1960 when they rebuilt the road. That's was a Brownell place, and originally contained a store there too, a Brownell store, and post office, I believe. But that was tore down, a big old house. Riverburg used it as two family homes, a big old house, and they tore that down, and Clinton Riverburg built a house on the edge of the property to the west, and a new house that was built in probably 1961 or so. He and his wife still live there, and he had a couple sons who have since gone. The next place on the right would be the old Crandall's Corner School. I think it was district number 2. And that was converted into 11 quarters. And when Henry Ruckerbrough left the Joseph Pesky Jr. place on Route 40, just what year that was, I don't know, but it's changed hands two or three times since, and still used as living quarters, but I don't know by who. Next place on the right would be what I knew was the old Bolson farm, which was unoccupied most of the time for many years. There was an old one-armed man, well-known around here in those days, named Sam Drew, lived in there for a while. But then later on it was kind of fixed up, and Louis Slocum Jr. bought it. He and his wife and two or three children lived there until he moved to the Canadaville later. It's now owned and occupied by Joseph Pesky Sr. or Junior. Joseph Senior and his wife lived there, and Joe Senior died there, and his wife lived there for some time. Then when the house burnt on Route 40, Joseph Junior and his wife went there, and they live there now. So then you proceed on down the road to the place on the corner of McGowan Road, which was formerly, as I knew it, the George Carr farm. George Carr was an unmarried man, lived there, and I think it had been his father's farm before, but he died kind of strangely there. He's found hung under a window. Apparently came down back in 1945, and so then they had an auction, and I went to that auction. All the tools and things were sold, and the farm was sold to Nick Yerchak, that had a farm on the Charles Ferry Road earlier, and it was farmed there by Nick and his wife, and they had several children, and one son, John, took it over, and his wife and children lived there, along with Rose Yerchak, who was Nick's wife, and she lived there until her death, which was sometime later. Then it was taken over by one of John's sons, John Jr., and ran as a farm for a while. And it was just the house and lot were sold to a person unknown to me, and the farmland is now part of that game preserve, as I understand, on the McGowan Road. And then you go to farther to the west, and there's a couple newer houses in there, one occupied by Chuck Yarder, and he and his wife had that house put in there, and Chuck still lives there. Next place going west would be the house that was built by one of John Yerchak's son. That was David Yerchak, and that's been sold to a person unknown to me. Then the next thing on that road at that time would have been the place that was belonged to the Birdsinger family, but was occupied by the Cronquist. It was a man and his son lived in there. And that house, I think, was torn down some several years ago, so there's nothing there, only open land now. The next place on the right would be, when I was a kid, the Carr farm. That was Gerald and Leo Carr farm. And when I was a kid, they owned a stationary baler that was run with horses, which I had the privilege or misfortune, I don't know what it was, to drive the team on the, called it Sweep. The horses went around the circle, and thereby with four or five turns and loading in of hay, it made a great big bale that weighed maybe 300 pounds on average. So then you proceeded along that road, and there was back in the lane, there was a farm in there, which I never saw. Those buildings have since disappeared or been torn down or something. And the next place beyond that is I knew it as the Quackenbush farm. Irving and Florence Quackenbush owned it. They had one daughter. She's now Mrs. Geraldine Merrill, Fred's wife. And most of that farm was on the left and at the junction of Rebeck Avenue. Yeah, but the house and lot were on that side of the road. They're still there. That house is now owned by Joseph Anasuski. And there was next thing to the west of that was the farm and house, and it was when I was a kid that was owned by Tony Cantor. He lived on the River Road at that time, but that was his original farm there. I stood there for quite a number of years, and that was also burned up in that same time when the arsonist burnt several buildings around here in the early 50s, I believe it was. And that was the last place on the north side of the road until you reach the river road. So then we'll come on back, and there's curves there at the top of the hill, and that was the site of the old District 1 schoolhouse, which was also burnt when those arsonists were around many years ago. And then you come on to the east again, and the barns on the Hawkenbush place were there, and right at the junction of Burbeck Avenue. So when we'll go down Burbeck Avenue, as long as we're there, and there's a... That'd be also on the right. You make a right-hand, sharp right-hand turn in the road, and there's the old Supervani farm. And John Supervani Sr. owned it when I was a kid. He and his wife and one son, John Jr., lived there. John Jr. never got married. He lived there until his later years, and it was bought by the Canfields, who was a... She was a Supervani girl, and Canfield still owned that farm. There's a, don't operate it as a farm, but there's a, several of the barns are still left there. And you proceed across the valley, and there was a place on the, almost at the county line, the farm back in there, which almost turned around and came north on that road. It was the, that, when I was a kid, that was a Patsy Christopher place. Patsy also lived there alone, and he was there until his death, I believe, and it's I don't know, the farmland, I guess it's now rented out, so it's owned by someone else now. Then there was a house right at the county line on the right, which was built there maybe 30 years ago. It was one time a Knapp family lived in there. Who's in there now, I don't know. Then we'll turn around and come back toward the north on Burbeck Avenue. And at that sharp right turn, you go straight in there, and that was a place I knew was the Mike Sukavani place. He was also one of John Sr.'s sons, and he and his wife and family lived in there. The house was back in Sudbury Lane. And that, I don't know who lives there now, but it's still, the house is still there and still occupied. There's a house that's on that lane that belongs to someone in the same family. So then that brings you back to the Cranel's Corners Road. Then to continue on the Cranel's Corner Road, the first place on the right or southerly side of the road is a house night occupied by the Hurd family. When I was a kid, that was a Frank Quackenbush farm. He later moved to Skattuck and farmed that farm in conjunction with his farm down there. And now Hurd's living there, and their son lives on a in a trailer beside the road farther east. Next farm, as I remember, was the Gifford farm, Howard Gifford. His wife, Nellie, lived there for many years, apparently, and Mrs. Gifford was bedridden for many years, and Howard had people work the farm and took care of his wife, and among them was the Olaf and Lena Steen. They lived there with him for some time. Then Howard either passed on or went away from here, and that farm was sold to the Carr brothers, who lived across the street. Their house burnt. They bought that house and farm and used that house as their residence. It's now owned by a man by the name of Jay Muir, who raised Christmas trees there and beef cattle and things like that. And that's kind of the history of that farm. But you come on east, and the next place on the right is a newer house built by Ted Linsky. After he came out of the service and got married, he lived there for many years, and Yes. Ted, I think, is still alive in a nursing home or something. And his son, Thomas, unless he still lives in there. Then coming on east, there's the old Melissey farm, which all burnt down one night some 20 years ago, house and barns all. And that was a, I think it was, you know, Paul Melissey farm. And was, he had, he and his wife and several children lived there. At least four sons, I believe, and one daughter. I think all the children are dead with the exception of Ted. Then you come on again easterly, and I guess the next place on the right would be there was a newer house there, that used to be the site of the Carsa residence. There was a house there closer to the road, and I went to school with Frank Carsa and his sister Mary, who later married Chet Holton, was a teacher of the Cranes Corner School for many years, up until the time it was centralized, I believe. Mary was a teacher there. That house was torn down. This newer house was built on a different spot on the same, the small farm at that time. Then you come on east again, and that's a place now owned by the Driskies. Driskey's daughter, Helen, now lives there. And the Driskies were several of them, six or eight at least, and one of whom was Pete Driskey, who lived on the Valley Falls Road. So that was, when I was a kid, that was the Van Wee residence. Clarence and Ed Van Wee lived there. They later took over the farm on Route 40, the Strobel farm. And then the Driskies bought it, and the Driskies still occupy it. Then the next place on the right would be near the corner, where you come back to Route 40. That would be the, when I was a kid, that was the Ropitsky place. I can't remember the, it was just a mother and a couple daughters lived there. It was in kind of bad shape, and that house was later bought by Frank Clum of the Catacook, who rebuilt it and lived in there for a little while himself. It's changed hands a couple times since, and it's, there's a family in there now. Man, wife, and at least one son lives in that place, and that brings us back to Route 40. I'll now go on the Hoyg Road, which is a southerly leading road from the Eastern Rural Cemetery south. The first place I remember it was the Anderson farm. And they were, the Anderson family was there for many years. They raised, four daughters and a couple sons. Three of the daughters were school teachers. And one of whom was May Scott, Charles Scott's wife, and one of whom was my school teacher at Barker's Grove, District Number 5, Mrs. Anna Hurley. And a daughter, Dorothy, was a nurse in Round Troy. And one daughter was also a school teacher, who was early deceased with TB, I understand. Had two sons, and they were Harry and Edward Anderson, that ran the Anderson's Dairy at Spiegeltown. They sold milk and soy for many years. They had a building at Spiegeltown near the firehouse, which has since been torn down. And they were both the RPI graduates, but went in the milk business. They bought local milk mostly. A lot of farmers around here produced milk and shipped it to them. So then you proceed down south, and the next place on the right is, that was built about 10 years ago, by Kurt and Pat Ruffel. He was employed at that time by the Alan Waite farm, later became county agent. And that couple has since split up, and then Pat Ruffel and two children, I believe, still live there. So the next thing on the right would be on past Hoyg Road. There's a place there when I was a kid known as the Walter White place. It was a farm there, and Walter White farmed it there. He had a couple sons, and that place was later sold to Fred Guazdian that owned the Waterford Auction. He lived there himself, and then he moved out and still owned the place, and it was house there burnt down some years ago. It was a great big house, somewhat on the style of Jack Lumberg's house at Barker's Grove. So then it was purchased and added on to the farm south there, now owned by Harry Orloff. The barns, what's left of them, are still on the right-hand side on White Road. And right there, there's no other houses on White Road, so we'll turn around. The house is on the eastern side of the road and still is there. That was formerly the residence of the Flynn brothers. I don't remember that, but Flynn brothers were the men that ran the Flynn funeral home in Greenwich for many years. Some of them died, and some have retired and run now by, still knows the Flynn funeral home. But, then you come back on to the north, there's two newer houses there. One was just built last year, who I don't know the name of that people in there, but 4 or 5 years ago, the place on north of there was built by Paul Kirk and his wife. He works for Curtis Lumber at the Hoosick Falls. That house is only 4 or 5 years old. He owns the land, a lot there, which is part of the property on Beetle Hill. It was at the junction of the Ives Hill Road, which has been closed for some years. So then you proceed on north, and the next place on the right would be the house now occupied by Bob Klondas. Bob has owned that house for many years, but when I was a kid, that was owned by the Haver family. And at one time, it was only used as a summer residence. Mr. Haver was the head of the New York Telephone Company toy office. And then he came there in his retirement years and lived there full time. And then it was, after that, owned by, I believe, a captain of the state police, and who was a son-in-law of the Havers. And later it was sold to this Bob Klondas. Now, it was once part of the McNulty farm, and probably the house was the same house, but the farm was sold off to the Pratts and is now part of the Rogers farm. And the barns have all been torn down. And the next thing on the right would be a house, newer house that was built by Robert Hebert. And he is a New York sergeant in New York State Police, and has had that house built, and still lives there, he and his wife. And the next place on the right would be a newer house that was built by the man that bought a portion of the Anderson farm. A man named Nicholas Econ. He lived in there himself, and he built that house, and it's since been sold to a lady by the name of Carolyn Payne, who I believe is an artist. And then north of that, right, there's another new house just being built now, and sort of in the woods and in the land that we used to cut hay on. My father and I, for Nelson Anderson, we did his hay and farm work for the last few years, and he was alive. So that brings us back to the Meeting House Road. Then we'll go to the South Cambridge Road. It starts at the junction of Meeting House Road, where Meeting House Road turns into a gravel road ahead, and it takes right fork onto South Cambridge Road. For some distance over to the base of Beetle Hill, there's no houses on the right. And to go over there, there's a new cutoff road. It was built there when Harold Snell was road commissioner. It's around the base of the hill. When I was a kid, you have to go up the top of where Beetle Hill and Ice Hole Mill Road meet to get to South Cambridge. So on that little stretch there between those, on that new road is a house now occupied by Joe Honeysack. He built that house there some 20 years ago when his former house was consumed by fire. The house he had was accessible from either that or the Ice Hill Road. And that was, when I was a kid, the Russian Orthodox Church, that house had been converted to a church. And there was a lot of Russian families around Beetle Hill at that time. So they formed their own church, and they had their priest lived at the big house on the corner of Ice Hill and Beetle Hill at the top of the hill, a big colonial house. But they had that house there as a church, and then it burned, and Johannes up built this new one. Then you continue on across the corner of at the bottom of Ice Hill Road and head toward South Cambridge. And the only place you encounter there is the place on the right, now occupied by the Grinkles. It's Harry and his brother Ted live there now. That was a Grinko place ever since I could remember. The elder Grinkles were there, Mr. Grinko and several children, some of whom I went to school with. And that consists of a good share of that stretch of the South Cambridge Road. They owned to the part of the land is in East End, part of the land is in Cambridge. The farmstead, I believe, is in Cambridge. But, so then you turn around and come back to the toward the Meeting House Road again. And the first place you encounter on the beyond the corner of South Cambridge and Center Cambridge Road, there's a farm there. That was, when I was a kid, that was the George Pearson farm. George and Alma Pearson lived there, and they had, I think, three daughters. One of their daughters was Shirley Lamb, now the Easton Town Clerk. They had another daughter who lives in South Lynn's Falls, and they had a daughter just recently deceased named Norma. That house there was the original house that I remember being there, burned way back when I was a young kid, and there was a house in that corner of the roads that are there now. Before you got to Johannesack's house, that was moved there. That farm was owned by John Ford at that time and rented to the Pearsons. So we had that house that was across the brook moved over there. It was moved by mule power and a rope and windlass type thing. And there was they had built a cribbing across the brook to get it over there where it is now. Then you come on back towards Meeting House Road, and the next place on the right would be what is known now as the Magdalena Peeler farm. There's nobody living there now, but there was this kind of a small farm and a fairly new barn next to the road, which was built there when the original barn was consumed by fire. But the house itself is quite old, I imagine. It's a stone faced with a stucco or concrete type house. And Mrs. Peeler was formerly Magdalena Curlander. And she lived there for quite a few years until her death just a few years ago. It still belongs to someone in the family. It's not occupied at all. Next place on the right that I remember was the old, I guess we'll call it the Beetle Hill Cheese Factory. It was a building there, which had closed down and was used by then, became part of the Skiff Farm. It was used by them, and I remember, for hay storage. It wasn't used as a creamery anymore, or cheese factory, but it had been used as a cheese factory. That building, I think, was torn down some years ago. And further on, right near that, was the original E.J. Skiff farm. And the barns have been partly torn down, and the house still stands there. It's now occupied by a, zoned by the Skiffs for many years until just recently their Stewart Skiff came in possession and sold off the Hollison and lot, and but he still owns the land around there. And he sold the place to this Mr. Morton that lives there now. And that brings us back to the corner where Gene Sprague lives, on the corner of South Cambridge and Meenhouse Road. We'll now take a ride in memories and modern times of the Beetle Hill Road, which starts at the junction with the South Cambridge Road and proceeds on south of the Rensselaer County line. First place is a more modern house on the right. It was built by the Vanderzees, Dave and Gene Vanderzee, and that's not too many years ago. And it's been sold by Gene Vanderzee to someone else who I don't know now. The next house is on the right was a house to the Fry farmers I knew in the old days, Mr. and Mrs. Fry. And one of their daughters was Anna. She was later married to a Bell. I think his name was James Bell. That lived, he lived, his family lived across the road and south of the Ives Hill Road. And Annabelle was killed on the Route 40 when she ran into the back of a tractor trailer truck in the dark. I remember that because the tractor trailer truck was delivering the cows to the Moy Farms when they first came to town, some probably 35 or 40 years ago. And she had the one dog.